This is the second part of chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. He records two appearances, two contacts. They both have to do with Scripture. Luke's idea of what to mediate regarding the mystery of the resurrection is how it opens up all of the Scriptures for us. The Scriptures at this time is only what we call the Old Testament. And so it gives us this insight. I thought what I was going to do this morning, not exactly a homily, it's more like a lecture at the university, if you don't mind. But I'm going to do it because I think it'll help. One of the basic texts is this text in Peter. This is from 1 Peter 1. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours, that's what they were talking about, you see, searched and inquired about this salvation. They inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them, when predicting the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glory. That's what they were talking about. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things which have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look, captivate them, to see the mercy of God, the working out of His plan. Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when history ends. I'm taking something, printing something, and I have a footnote that is quite useful too, if you don't mind. So powerful was this understanding of the early church that Didymus the Blind, one of the great theologians, imagine blind, but a great theologian of the early church. He died in just on 398. Okay. Commenting on this text of Peter says, those who lived before the coming of Christ were less well informed, not because of their wickedness, but because of God's dispensation of time. Therefore it is said that the prophets examined how and at what time the salvation of their souls would be fulfilled by the sufferings of Christ and His subsequent glory. They were instructed about all this. They preached these things, knowing that they were not going to be revealed directly to them, but would appear at some future time. Therefore it is wrong to say that their sanctification was somehow inferior to ours. How did we get from there to persecution of the Jews? This was, you know, I can show you this. Augustine says the same thing. You see, they were holy. They were in union with God. Some of them died witnessing, but they weren't as fully informed because of the dispensation. Now, when we look then at the Old Testament, we see something there that they didn't see when they wrote it. Now the principle, this now comes the lecture part, the principle is this, that in every other writing in the world, words stand for things. All right? In the Bible, words stand for things, but then things stand for things. Okay? The Exodus stands for redemption. Right? The bronze serpent is Christ on the cross. The drowning of the enemies at the Red Sea is the elimination of sin in our lives from baptism. Things stand for things, not just words standing for things. Only in the Bible. Why? Because only God directs all of history by His providence and can see to it that these things stand for and prepare for these things. That's why, if you read Paul closely, all his terminology to describe what our Lord accomplished on the cross comes from the book of Exodus. Redemption, salvation, particular people, all, it's all from the book of Exodus. And that's their role. And so when our Lord, why am I doing all this? Well, because he says here, thus it is written, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations. Where is that written? Remember, our Lord is talking about the scriptures. There are no New Testament scriptures at this point. So where is all this written? Things standing for things. That my Father, it's like, well, I give the example that occurs to me a lot, is the pure white light of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, which radiates through the New Testament, is already broken down through the prism of the Old Testament. So instead of seeing the pure white light, for which our spirits and minds are hardly equal, we see it in a broken down way. What did Jesus do in that act of love in which he died? He drowned Satan and all our sins and brought us into a promised land. That's what he did. Oh, I understand that. But when I say he eliminated sin and restored us to righteousness, you say, yeah, okay, fine, what's that mean? In other words, all those events are telling us what's going on now. Besides the direct prophecies, huh? On Good Friday, we read that text in Isaiah, right? Isaiah 52:13-53:12. Behold, my servant will be exalted. The word there that Isaiah uses is, of course, is translated into the Greek translation, which was the foundation for even most of the Jews of the day who lived outside of Israel. The word there is a Greek word, ipsun, to be raised up. There are three predictions of the Passion in our Lord's mouth in John's Gospel. Every one of those uses that word, to be exalted, to be raised up, because it means two things. It means to be raised up on the cross. Be exalted. Is that exaltation? Yes, that's the love of the Father pouring out through the heart of Christ, right there in front of us. That's exaltation. The completion of that exaltation, when he goes to heaven in his glorified body, still bearing the wounds. He's proud of those wounds. And so, there's this plan. One of the favorite texts when Thomas is treating of all of this is that text of Gregory. Only in the Bible can things stand for things. Because God is the author of the things, the events, the bronze serpent, whatever. You see? So they can stand for things. In all our other communication, only words can stand for things. No other book in the world can write like the Bible. And I don't know why it just occurred to me this morning, I've never said this before, and it's helpful, isn't it? I mean, this is for real. And that's why, besides the prophecies of the humiliation and the exaltation, which is in that Isaiah text I just mentioned, and in other texts, there's all the realities, the bronze serpent, the Red Sea, so many. The conquest of the land. They are revelations of things to happen. And that's why, one more minute will be done, I promise. You see, that's why these realities are unplumbable. You see, they're too deep. And so we treated them. And the only way we can really get them is to have the Spirit of God impress the reality upon our spirit. And that is the role of Scripture. Scriptures are written so that through the Holy Spirit's action using them, the reality is imprinted on our spirit and we understand. That's the grace of reading Scripture. Do you have to work at it? Sure. What else? What can you do that it's worth doing that you don't have to work at? And Augustine says, and he leaves tough things in there to understand, so we won't start taking the Scriptures for granted. We'll have to keep on working at it.